So today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, entitled The Status Quo, Chapter Number 9, entitled Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy, Text Number 35. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. You are the original Rishi, and because your mind is always fixed on me, even though you will be engaged in generating various progeny, the vicious mode of passion will never encroach upon you. Translation responsibly. You are the original Rishi.
You are the original Rishi.
And because your mind,
is always fixed on me,
even though you will be,
engaged in generating
various progeny,
the vicious mode of passion
will never encroach upon you. Purport. The same assurance is given to Brahma in the second canto, chapter 9, verse 36. Being so favored by the Lord, Brahma's schemes and plans are all infallible. If sometimes Brahma is seen to be bewildered, as in the 10th canto, he is bewildered by seeing the action of the internal potency. That is also for his further advancement in transcendental service. Arjuna is found to be similarly bewildered. All such bewilderment of the pure devotees of the Lord is specifically meant for their further advancement in knowledge of the Lord.
Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsya हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्ते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So all living entities act, and if someone is in any particular body, they act according to that body. But because we are spirit souls, we have to act. But the main thing is, what is the motivation behind that action? So Srimad Bhagavatam is so amazing because it purifies our motivation. The second verse, right in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, says that Srimad Bhagavatam rejects all cheating religion. Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Parmo Nirmat Saranam Satam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is for those who are not envious. And even if an envious person approaches Srimad Bhagavatam, he will become non-envious. So that's the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma projito ketavotra parmo nirmat saranam satam vedyam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. So the threefold miseries that all living entities are going through can be uprooted just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And it has been written by this great Mahamuni Vyasadeva. And just by attentively and regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we can achieve the highest goal of human life. And it says, Tatkshanat, Shushrushubis, Tatkshanat. At that moment, means very soon, you would get the topmost attainable goal of human life. So that's the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam. And here we have conversation between so many amazing personalities. So when we hear from them and hear about them, we will be purified. So here we see that Brahma wanted to create. And when Lord saw that Brahma wants to create, he was very compassionate upon him. So few verses back, we heard that when Lord saw that Brahma was very anxious about planning and construction of different, you know, planetary systems, and actually he was depressed upon seeing this devastating water. So then Lord became compassionate upon Brahma. So that's why we are hearing all these verses in which Lord is giving assurance to Brahma that don't worry, you won't be affected by mode of passion. Although you will utilize mode of passion for construction of this universe, but you won't be affected by it. So that's the assurance given by Lord. Because Lord is the controller of all the three modes. So he can give that assurance. Usually we go through different problems in life. And what do our friends and relatives say? Don't worry, it will be alright. They give their assurance. But they don't know if things will be alright. On material plane, nothing will be alright. Everything will be destroyed. So their assurance is just lip service. They just say because they need to say something. Because they are a relative or a friend. Everything will be alright. So what will be alright? Will you not die? Will you not be diseased? Will you not become old? So on material plane, nothing will be alright. But these assurance given by Lord or His pure devotees, that has some weight. Otherwise, it's just words. So that's why Srimad Bhagavatam approaches, actually Srimad Bhagavatam penetrates the heart. Because the words are not just words. They are real words. They are not just a myth or just any mundane words. They are totally spiritual. So that's why if we know or if we are conscious of that or we are not aware of that, the words will act upon our heart. And eventually we will become purified. So that's the assurance given by Lord and pure devotees that Bhagavatam will purify us. So here in today's verse, we see these words. It says, Manomai Nirbaddham. So Lord says that your mind is always fixed on me. So mind is so flickering that it goes here and there. But the goal of all yogis is to fix mind on the Lord. So that's a challenge. So that's why we have instructions given by Krishna and His pure devotees on how to fix our mind upon Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjun asks this question, to Krishna in 10th chapter. He says, O Krishna, O supreme mystic. So he refers to Krishna as yogi. Yogi, supreme mystic. Krishna is yogi or Yogeshwara, the greatest mystic. There are so many yogis, but Krishna is actually the greatest yogi, the supreme mystic. So Arjun says, O Krishna, O supreme mystic, how shall I constantly think of you? And how shall I know you? In what various forms are you to be remembered, O personality of Godhead? So that's what Arjun asks Krishna. How can I remember you? How can I fix my mind upon you? Remember you means, how can I have thoughts about you? In what various forms? And then we know Krishna describes all different vibhutis, that how you can see me within this world. So Krishna is everywhere. Nothing in this creation, there is nothing in this creation which is not Krishna. Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhu matta sarvam pravartate. Everything emanates from him, all material and spiritual worlds. But it requires training on how to see Krishna. So that's why this training is being provided by Krishna himself to Arjun in Bhagavad Gita. So we need to just approach these instructions and we can also be benefited. And further in this purport we see that Prabhupada writes, being so favored by the Lord, Brahma's schemes and plans are all infallible. So everyone is making schemes and plans, and they may be or may not be fulfilled. And even if they are fulfilled on the material platform, ultimately they won't last. Someone says, I was successful. They use this word, success. There are so many books on how to become motivated, motivational literature. How to get the success. So what they call as success is maybe they have a business which becomes successful for some time. But that's not ultimate success. You can't guarantee that someone will remain a millionaire throughout his life. Even if he remains, ultimately he has to leave all his possessions and go somewhere. And most likely, as we know, if someone has a lot of wealth, he or she uses it in sinful activities. And their next destination is very hellish. They may become an animal. And then they can't utilize that wealth that they earned. So success is just another word, another mundane word which has no meaning, meaningless. So all mundane words have no real meaning. They are just words, they are temporary. So that's why we understand the real success is in service of Krishna. So that's why it's written here that Brahma's schemes and plans are all infallible. Because he was favored by Lord. So we all have intelligence. And the function of intelligence is to make plans. So we have to make plans anyway. So why not make it for serving Lord? So we are fallible. Lord is infallible. And his pure devotees are infallible. In 15th chapter it says, Dvavimau purushav loke ksharas chakshara evacha ksharas sarvani bhutani kutas toksharam uchyate. Now there are two types of living entities, kshara and akshara, fallible and infallible. All living entities in material world are fallible and all living entities in spiritual world are infallible because they are in line with Krishna's plans. So if we want to become successful, if we want to fulfill our plans and schemes, then we need to understand what are Krishna's plans. And he's helping us by giving this information in books like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literature. Because Krishna's plans cannot be defeated. So if we work according to his plan, that means our plans won't be defeated. So that's a simple trick, very simple. And as it is said, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple. So such an easy fact to listen that if God is supreme, He is omnipotent. He has all the potency. No one can defeat his plan. Because Krishna is supreme enjoyer, he enjoys anyway. Whatever happens, he enjoys. If he is with Vrajvasis, he enjoys. If he is with demons, he is enjoying. He is killing them. He enjoys that. There is no leela of Krishna which he doesn't enjoy. And the word leela actually means pastime. Pastime which occurs because of the sweet will of Lord. So he enjoys all his pastimes. And here we are hearing Srishti Leela. That's also Leela of Lord. Mahavishnu is just lying in the causal ocean in his Yoga Nidra and all this creation happens. So that's also by his sweet will. So without his sweet will, nothing happens. So he enjoys and all his plans are successful. So we just need to align our plans with plans of Lord. And how we can align is by hearing from his pure representative, which is the spiritual master. So when we hear from such a person, then we can understand what are Lord's plans. So these pure devotees are tattva-darshi. They have seen the truth. They know the truth because Lord reveals this truth to them. Now the question is, what are the qualifications? Who can know Krishna? How to know Krishna? So many people are reading these books like Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, but they can't understand Krishna fully. Because these things are secret, very secret. So there are qualifications required for understanding Krishna. So in Bhagavad Gita again, Krishna says, Name vidu surgana prabhavam na maharshaya aham adir hi devana maharshinam cha sarvasya. He says, Name vidu surgana. All these demigods cannot know me. Name vidu surgana prabhavam na maharshaya. The great sages cannot know me. Because I was present before them. Like the son is born from the parents. But the parents existed before the son. So son may not know what parents did before he was born. But if parents reveal that thing that, oh, when I was a student I used to do this. So he has to reveal it to the son. So Krishna is saying same thing, that these demigods and great rishis, they came after me. Aham adir hi devanam. I was present before everyone. That's why no one knows me. Aham evasam evagre. This is the first shloka of Chatushloki Bhagavatam. Krishna tells Brahma, Aham evasam evagre. That I was present before creation. I am present now. And after annihilation, I will be still present. So that's why he knows everything. Because everything happens after him, means he was present always and then everything else happens. That's why he knows everything. And how can we know him? If we hear from him. So that's the conclusion. And he is so potent that these great personalities like Brahma, other great sages, they may know very much about him. But he has a bewildering potency. He can even bewilder these great personalities. So as we see that Brahma was bewildered. We know the pastime of Brahma Vimohan Leela. When Lord Brahma stole the cowherd boys and cows and calves. And then he understood that he had made a mistake. So Lord can put anyone in bewilderment. And what to speak of any living entity, even his expansions are sometimes bewildered. In that same pastime, for one whole year, even Lord Balram didn't know what's going on. He didn't know that all these expansions are of Lord himself. They are not the actual cowherd boys and calves. So that's the potency of Krishna. So Krishna is the original Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan. So even his first expansion can be put into bewilderment. So that's the power of his bewildering potency, Yoga Maya. So there is only one Maya. In spiritual world, it acts as Yoga Maya. In material world, it acts as Mahamaya, which is the same Maya potency. So it's the bewildering potency. So what to speak of living entities, what to speak of his expansions? This bewildering potency acts on Lord himself. He allows the bewildering potency to act on himself. One time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas, he became so ecstatic, he was just wandering. He wanted to go to Vrindavan and he was bewildered. He was bewildered by his Yoga Maya potency. And he was wandering here and there. But Nityanand Prabhu and other devotees wanted him to go to Advaita Acharya's house. So while he was wandering, bewildered, for 3 days I think he wandered, just in a bewildered state. So Nityanand Prabhu said, "This is Yamuna. See, you are in Vrindavan. This forest is Vrindavan. So let's cross the river." And then he saw Advaita Acharya. So then he came to his senses. Then he thought, what is Advaita Acharya doing in Vrindavan? So by these pastimes, actually, we can see that how Lord himself is actually bewildered by this Yoga Maya potency. So what to speak of us? In material world, we are bewildered by the Mahamaya, because we want to enjoy separately from Krishna. So we need to actually be bewildered and forgetful of our real identity. Then only we can try to enjoy. Because if we have knowledge, then we know that we cannot enjoy without Krishna. But here we are bewildered by this Mahamaya potency. And then we come in this world, and this world is called as ocean of material existence. And these various planets that we have, they are like different islands on this ocean. But if one takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, then this ocean reduces. And how does this ocean reduce? As we hear in 10th canto, it is said, the ocean becomes like the water in the hoof print of the calf. So hoof print of the calf is not very big, maybe 1 or 2 inches big in diameter. So that's not very big as compared to the whole vast ocean. So what happens to the water? So much water reduces. Actually, the water evaporates. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Krishna Surya Sama. Krishna is like sun. And sun is so powerful, it evaporates the water. So sun has two things. It has the light. And by light, Krishna Surya Sama, this light means knowledge. So Krishna gives this knowledge. And the sun has heat. So that heat evaporates this ocean of material existence and it reduces, and then you can easily step over it. So, but that happens only when we take shelter of Lord. What makes it difficult to take shelter of Lord is this entrapment by these three modes. That's why Lord Brahma was so bewildered by seeing this material energy. He was very afraid. But Lord is giving him assurance, don't worry, mode of passion will not disturb you. We should be very afraid of these three modes, because they entrap us. In Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 14 and further chapter 17, 18, it describes how these three modes entrap us. Mode of ignorance makes us inactive. Mode of passion makes us overactive. And mode of goodness, if you may do everything correct, so then you will be entrapped by material happiness and knowledge. So all these modes will bind you. Recently I read that this news article where I could see that how mode of ignorance is affecting so many people. So they did a study in which they were trying to see where are most obese people, fat people in Australia. And because of inactivity. So they found out one suburb in Queensland. It's called Darling Downs. The 44% people in that suburb are obese. Obese means one may be overweight. Overweight means you have extra weight than your body should have. But still it's not dangerous. But if you are dangerously overweight, when you will have heart problems, joint problems, and so many other diseases, that's called obesity. So 44% people in this suburb are obese. And 75% people are insufficiently active. So they're not doing much. They're just sitting down, probably watching TV or, you know, eating. So this is a problem that shows the mode of ignorance, inactivity. So that's bad. So if you take the other side, other extreme, people are very active. So Eastern Sydney is number one and Melbourne, inner suburbs, is number two. People are so active. If you go to city, you can see how people are moving. So fast. You can't walk like in a medium pace if you are on Swanston Street. You will be pushed by people. One time I was walking. It's like a traffic. It's not people walking, it's a traffic. I was just walking on Swanston Street and one person told me, keep to the left. It's like a traffic. I didn't notice that I was on the right side. So it's on the pavement also, you have to be on the left. Keep to your left. He was an old man, he was walking so fast and I was in his way. So that's passion. So Melbourne is number two in passion. So active. So both are bad, both extremes are bad. And if you are correctly active, still if you don't have conception of spirituality or Krishna, then also it's bad. So everything is bad in material world. You can't succeed. So that sounds very strange for materialists, but devotees understand that yes, if we take shelter of Krishna, then we will be rightly active. Sometimes we need to rest, sometimes we need to act. So if we take guidance from devotees and Krishna, then we would know that how much to act and how to act and what is the motive behind that. Should we act to serve our senses or should we act to serve Krishna's senses? So we need to act, definitely we need to act, but the action should be directed towards pleasure of Krishna. If we act according to our material position, that won't be a proper action. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. So if we serve the master of the senses, which is Hrishikesh or Krishna, then we'll become purified. And what is the test of purity? We say, oh, you are a pure devotee. You know, what's the test of pure devotion? So Prabhupada writes in one of the purports that the test of purity is that you want to serve Krishna. How much you want to serve Krishna, how much you are eager to serve Krishna. That is the test of your purity. So becoming more and more pure means we want to serve Krishna more and more purely. Not necessarily quantity, it can be quality as well. We need to increase. We need to serve Krishna in the right quantity and in right quality. So that's a test. So that's why we are performing sadhana bhakti. So by performing this sadhana bhakti in association of devotees, we can understand Krishna. And Krishna has two forms. One is prakat and one is aprakat. Prakat means when he is in front of us. A pure devotee can see Krishna everywhere. And in spiritual world, all devotees see Krishna face to face. His aprakata form is that form that a devotee realizes when he is fully absorbed in service of Krishna. So when we say thinking of Krishna, what does that mean? That means thinking of anything related to Krishna, if we are absorbed in thinking about our service, how can I serve Krishna properly? How can I do this service properly? That is also thinking of Krishna. Thinking of anything related to Krishna is thinking of Krishna. Thinking of his form, his pastimes, his paraphernalia, his associates. This all comprises thinking of Krishna. So we need to purify our mind and very intelligently and patiently think about Krishna. And then we'll get this ultimate benediction by Krishna. And we will be assured. Just like here Krishna says, he's giving compliment. You are the original Rishi. Same in Bhagavatam also we hear. In the first verse, Adi Kavi. Lord Brahma is referred to as Adi Kavi. And here he is referred to as Rishim Adyam, Adi Rishi. The original Rishi, original Kavi. But we know that actually Krishna is original. Even before Brahma, Lord is referred to as Adyam, Adyam Purana Purusham. So he is the original person. But within this universe, Lord Brahma is original person, original Rishi. So he's complimenting him and he's assuring him. So if we surrender to Krishna and his devotees, then we will be also given this assurance again and again, perpetually. And then we can go on serving Krishna. So I would like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes, Mati. Why are there different types of living entities? Okay. Oh, different living entities. Why are Kshara, Akshara? Right. Yeah, I think you asked similar question to Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj.
No.
Similar.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it wasn't exactly the same.
Okay. What was that? What was that question you asked
him? I asked Maharaj, because on basis of what he was saying, I asked him whether the living entities in the spiritual world are Dasha Shakti or not. And he said, according to his understanding, they're not. So now this is a different question. Why are they different types of living?
I don't know. Anyone else knows? You can. Why has Krishna created some entities as infallible and some as fallible? But what we can say is, even if we are one thing in that question is that that's not fair. It's not fair. Why are we not infallible? Why did we fall? But to understand Krishna's mercy, we can say that even though we are fallible, we don't know why. But Krishna has given this process and He's with us within our heart to guide us to go and associate with those infallible living entities. So He has given, He has made available that process. So that's His mercy. Why, we don't know, but He is still available. Everything is available. Krishna gives Himself to his pure devotee. So, and he is giving this process to us to become pure devotee. So in that sense it's fair. If he makes us fallible and keeps us in material world as fallible and doesn't give us any clue how to come to spiritual world, then that would be unfair. But now we have this process that we can hear about Krishna and, you know, be associate with him again. Yes, Prabhu.
Who would be the infallible?
Me. Oh, sorry, infallible. Infallible is our Nitya Siddhas, those who never fall down from spiritual platform. Not, yeah, that's what Mataji's question. Some are not like that. Some never fall down. Infallible.
But there is a condition that they are still associating and they don't want to still applies to them also. And if they choose not to enjoy with Krishna, then they become fallible. So who's like really fallible?
Like we know Mother Yashoda, all the gopis, they are always with Krishna. Always with Krishna. But momentarily it may happen, like recently we were hearing, like gopis during rasa dance, they became a little proud and Krishna disappeared. You know, so Krishna disappeared. But then they corrected themselves, their attitude very quickly and like that. But they never fall down to material platform. It's like that. Any other question or comment? Yes, Vidya Prabhu.
Krishna enjoys all his activities. How do we understand his activity of creating this material world? How do you understand that he enjoys that as well?
When he comes to this material world, he enjoys. Like when government makes the prison house, that's not only for punishing. Of course, government is sad that there are some prisoners there, but they appoint some people to reform them. So same way Krishna, because of living entity's desire, may create material world, but he comes himself and he sends his representatives again and again to reform those living entities. And he enjoys that. So when people like Srila Prabhupada, they perform their preaching activities, so that's, you know, that's of great joy to Krishna. So two things. One, when he comes himself in material world, he performs similar pastimes and he enjoys. And he may see that there are living entities who are suffering in this world, but he always sends his representatives to deliver them. And when he sees those preaching activities, how some of his devotees are approaching these other people, so then he enjoys also. So he's enjoying in any case. Yes, Prabhu?
By definition, Krishna is a supreme.
Yeah.
So whatever he does.
Yeah. Any other question or comment? Yes, Prabhu? Yeah, like Yudhishthir Maharaj, who actually the Pandava side was the head of Pandava side was Yudhishthir Maharaj, because if they win, Yudhishthir Maharaj would be enthroned, and they won, and Yudhishthir Maharaj was enthroned, and he is known as Ajatashatru, one with no enemies. So what that means is that he doesn't see anyone as enemies. Others may see him as their enemy. You understand? So Ajatashatru means he doesn't see anyone as his enemy. Just as a matter of duty, he may be fighting, but he has good wishes for everyone. Because he was so dutiful and he tried to avoid war, but it was Krishna's desire. So he was fighting, but he didn't see anyone as his enemy. Duryodhan may see him as his enemy. So in Bhagavatam it is said, Ajat Shatrava Shantas, Sugrida Sadhava Sadhu Bhushana, Titikshava Karunika, Sugrida Sarva Dehinam, Ajat Shatrava Shantas. I forgot the last line. So yeah, Ajat Shatra. Devotee is Ajat Shatru. He doesn't see anyone as his enemy. Okay, Prabhu, I think time up. We'll finish here. Any quick one? If there's a quick one, we can answer. Okay, last.
The living entity and Krishna are eternal. But can you explain the point? Was there a certain point of time where Krishna created the living entities?
No, there's always existing. Because we are materially conditioned, we think in terms of time and place, space, but when we are advanced, then we can understand how we are always existing. Krishna is always existing, and He's the enjoyer, as we were discussing. He's the supreme enjoyer, and to expand His enjoyment, He creates others, because more relationships means more enjoyment. So now, at what point He decided to enjoy more? So we can't trace that. That's always, eternally He wanted to enjoy more. So eternally there were other living entities. Okay, thank you very much. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Nithai Gaur Premananda Ki.